Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. Holy shit, Westworld is good. It is good, good, good. It is perhaps the best thing ever produced. This, Tenet, Interstellar. This is pretty much the max that I can handle in terms of quality. The max that I know of. I'm so happy I've been watching it. I think someone had recommended it a long time ago and I had dismissed it as a Western. You have to specify. You have to tell me, JF, it's not a Western. It's a meta-Western. Holy shit. That is good stuff. Yes, I've only seen the first season. Total Grimm, I've seen 7 episodes. People are commenting that the seasons get bad as we advance through it. I don't care. The first season is a great product of human civilization. Everyone should watch it. I'll get to the later seasons eventually. But oh my god, and I discover that Jonathan Nolan is the creator of this. And apparently Jonathan Nolan is the brother of Christopher Nolan. And I love all Christopher Nolan movies. And now I read on Quora that Jonathan Nolan is actually the guy who writes the films of Christopher Nolan. He's the ideologue. Christopher Nolan does the dirty work of direction, but Jonathan Nolan is the great mind who has thought of these ideas that in the movies that I love so much, like Tenet. Oh my god. Holy shit. That is a good titty series. I should have known about this before. Now I know. Jonathan Nolan is the man. He is the man at the center of the best artistic creation in the history of mankind. He's the one I should send the revolutionary phenotype to, not Christopher. We should find the address of Jonathan Nolan so I can send him a book. Westworld is a meta-Western. It is, there will be spoilers, so you say don't spoil it, JF. I always spoil things that I talk about. So if you don't like it, leave the show, please. It's not that I will reveal fundamental elements that will make you enjoy the thing less. You're still going to enjoy it. I'm willing to rewatch this many times. I don't care. The narrative structure is so complex because at first I thought it was kind of a virtual space, that they were making a kind of touristic virtual space for people to go in and play a game. But actually, it's not virtual. It's a physical world in which there are robots and you enter it like a game, but it's the real you and the real robots. They are true physical robots, but it's a place that rich people pay to go, and there are fake characters that are played by robots, but super intelligent NPCs, basically. And they can do whatever they want. So it's like a GTA style, do whatever you want. So some rich people go there just to rape women, someone to prostitute, someone to gamble, someone to just shoot people. But the characters in this are cycling. They are reliving the same story over and over again. Their memory is reset. And there are all sorts of multi-level interactions between the real world and this kind of fictitious world that they've created. The robots at some point in the season kind of begin to revolt and begin to take consciousness of the kind of cycle they're in. It is so powerful because it explores the theme of, okay, is an NPC that would be very intelligent. Would they have real emotions? Would people start to attach to them as if they had real emotions? And you have rich people who get into this thing and they play evil. But then you get people who get into this thing and they play good. And that's their trip. You know, they want to save the cute lady. They don't want to rape her. It's so fascinating. It is unbelievable, super strong, Westworld, 10 out of 10. You all should watch this if you're a fan of science fiction. It is some of the best stuff I've ever seen in my life. So inspiring and so well done. Wow. Thank you so much for the guy who suggested this yesterday, because I've dismissed it in the past because I saw the little Western images and I was tired of these new ways of making Westerns. They've been coming back again and again with the cowboy theme. But this one is absolutely well done. This is exactly how you can have me watch a cowboy show. It's a meta cowboy show. Ty Rogerson says, never seen JF gush like this. I mean, it's it is good, good, good. It's exactly what I've been wanting. And I'm so glad that I could see this before I die. I thought that I had seen all art that was worth watching, because I'm down to someone the other day recommended that I watch Caddyshack with fucking Bill Murray, and I watched it. That's how low I am in my life. I thought it was over. I thought I had seen the end of it. And then you come and you hit me with Westworld. I'm feeling good. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the regular chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Nicholas Petris says, the mic is looking great, JF. Yes, Nicholas Petris sent me a DM saying that there were white spots that had accumulated on my mic, so I rolled it with the sticky roll thing. I used to do that. I've not been doing it for a year, I guess, because I've settled down. I'm now an old show host, you know. When I was a young YouTuber, I was very hungry for the audience, for perfection, and I would clean my microphone often, but now I've settled down, I'm relaxed, we're doing a relaxed show. Night King says, Westworld becomes pretty gay and cringe after the first season. Maybe it does. In which case, I will simply obliterate season 2, 3, 4 from my head, and I will remain attached to season 1 as the great thing. there are people who are getting banned. Excellent. As long as they're getting banned, things are going well. Navy quietly rolled back punishments for seals seeking religious exemptions to the COVID vaccine. A lawsuit brought by 35 active duty seals is still ongoing. Mama JF is coming. What's up, Mama JF?
I know what happened today. I was like, what are you doing?
Today I closed the door of the studio and I went into Westworld.
Yeah,
I watched seven hours of content.
Oh my God.
While Mama JF was caring for her duties in the house.
I was like, I wanna watch it too. What are you doing?
The problem with Mama JF is she's not in for a full binge watch. If Mama JF really likes a show, maybe she's going to watch 3 or 4 episodes and during a day, and I need 7 or 8. So I tried watching the first episode with Mama JF yesterday, but then I was noticing this morning that it was starting to get slow. You know, I would be like, do you want to watch the rest now? And she was like, maybe not now. And I was like, okay, you're too slow for me, Mama JF. I have to leave you behind. And so I dropped Mama JF under the bus and I just went straight on my horse exploring Westworld. And I was like, I don't mind watching it again. I will watch it again with Mama JF tonight at her pace. But if I truly love a show, there is no stopping me. I will watch it all to the extent that my physical body allows me to do it. Navy quietly rolled back punishments for seals seeking religious exemptions to the COVID vaccine. So again, we had all these bending of the law bending of individual rights, and all of it was bluff. The regime knew that they couldn't do this, and now they're like, okay, well, now that we've scared you enough and we've scared enough of you to get the vaccine, we're going to admit that we can't really punish the other ones that didn't get the vaccine. So it's all about standing your ground, and it sucks so much that we have to do this. We shouldn't have to stand our ground on something like this. It should just come as a given. There should be mechanism in society so that politicians cannot even attempt to use fear the way they did with the vaccine. Most people will have had their rights violated in this whole episode. Most people will have taken the vaccine out of fear for losing their jobs. Only a handful of people, the highest resistance of society, will have been able to handle the social pressure and the threats and the attacks on their job. Mama JF says, fear is legal. Well, exactly. We need, because theoretically it's not legal. Theoretically, extortion is a crime and you cannot do it. But the government does it constantly. And we have to extend extortion definitions and prosecution to include all acts of the government that are meant to induce fear. Meanwhile, someone shared this study with me yesterday. I read it today. COVID-19 vaccine boosters for young adults, a risk-benefit assessment, and 5 ethical arguments against mandates and universities. As much as I've been critical of past studies because past studies were of very low quality that you guys had sent me, but this one is super strong. I like it. This one looks at it realistically. It's like the vaccine isn't hurting that much. COVID isn't hurting very much any young person. And so let's do the calculation and then see if the vaccine mandate is worth it for young people. And it's definitely not. So they make a very good case that basically for every hospitalization saved by the vaccine, because you save the young person from COVID, you'll find 5 to 6 grave serious events. So basically you multiply by 5 or 6 the risk to the person. Vaccine mandates for universities, colleges, and that kind of stuff shouldn't be a thing. Now, the problem is, I guess the argument that the left will do against this is, what about the safety of the teachers? What about the safety of the old people around these young people? And we have to completely stop this. This goes totally outside of the bounds of medicine. The problem is, medicine is designed for a patient to seek the resolution of a disease that they have. Medicine is not about saving the life of this person by hurting this person. That's politics, and that's basically war, by the way. This is not medicine. So no, we shouldn't have... This makes a very convincing case that we shouldn't have vaccine mandates for any young people. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, we shouldn't have vaccine mandates for anyone. Mama JF says, fear is legal. They have free speech, JF. The devil has a job to do. Mama JF perceiving the devil in the actions of the government and their extortion. I mean, I guess that the concept of the devil pretty much has been invented, has been used historically to warn of dangers and of the fact that the way the environment shows to you and other people show to you, they present themselves and they constitute these kind of wicked dangers with hidden intentions, intent to manipulate, that kind of stuff, which is exactly what the devil does. Hello, Mama JF.
Because like people like us, we are not aware of what really happened because we don't have a TV. But people really watch TV, and me, I remember when it happened, I had to go to the hospital and there was 4 TV screens. Again, I was waiting in the waiting room And it was like nonstop. I was there like for an hour and they were only talking about this.
Yeah, I see this when I go to McDonald's. They have this Radio Canada CBC type of
Yeah.
thing all day. And it's like, holy shit, the normies are being spammed with this crap.
It's crazy, but like they don't have to watch TV.
Absolutely.
It's like the whole life is a lie.
Yes,
The
and
we need a reset.
we need a reset, a small reset.
No, in the other direction.
All right, Mama JF, thank you for coming. People are saying that there is a buffer, FF. Hopefully, this will fix itself. Odyssey has tended to have some buffering that has happened lately, but most of the time it's a couple of seconds and then GoOS has pulled the stream back 15 seconds to fix the buffer. That is a good trick. Twitter shareholders vote in favor of Elon Musk's $44 billion deal. So they vote for this, but Elon Musk doesn't want this deal anymore. But it was a condition of the contract that the shareholders vote for the deal to occur. Of course, since then, the price of the Twitter stock has dropped very much. So at 54.20, Elon Musk would be paying quite a premium. But yeah, so since it was a condition, the shareholders have voted and they expect to get $44 billion from Elon Musk. So now that that condition has been met, all that's left is to determine if the judge will decide that the contract binds Elon Musk to buying Twitter. It's going to be interesting. Elon Musk may be forced to buy Twitter. That would be beautiful. I think it of all the outcomes, the funniest for me as a newsman is if Elon Musk is forced to buy Twitter and forced to make it a free speech platform. That would be beautiful. Prince William just inherited a 685-year-old estate worth $1 billion. Well, that starts you well in life. He's pretty old though, pretty old. For getting Prince William. Okay, William is younger than Charles, right? Anyways, he inherited $1 billion. I guess that's what's left from the wealth of the monarchy. It's quite impressive to think that that wealth like this can be maintained across generations. I think for most people, it's not the case. The wealth would get diluted in some form, and there wouldn't be much left. But when you're the monarchy in England, I guess there's always a way to, there's always income coming in. Loudoun County judge boots liberal DA from case of dad whose daughter was sexually assaulted in school. The court has restored his hope for a fair trial, the Virginia dad's attorney says. So this had been a long case that was involving a man. His daughter gets raped by a transsexual man to female in the school. So it was basically a man who had access to girls' bathroom because he had done a sex change. And the county's the school board had been strongly working to hide these facts and. This man was alarmed that he was basically being told, accept the rape of your daughter as a kind of sacrificial lamb for diversity. We don't want to make too much noise. Please shut up. And he worked hard and eventually had to he had to be physically taken out of the board meeting. And the media, the leftist media was covering this as, oh, look at this hateful father. And now he's getting trialed for some misdemeanor related to his revolt, basically. And the DA that was pursuing this case was basically siding with the school board and the leftist media to smear this man who was just offended that his daughter had to be raped so that society makes this big sexual gender-based experiment that we're doing, which is righteous anger, if you want my opinion. So he's now going to get another DA, and perhaps that other DA will look at the case and say, okay, that was really a case of bias. I'm canceling the lawsuit or the prosecution. Or perhaps he will try to prosecute, but at least in the less biased way. I appreciate this. It's a great victory. Dead Star says, now, if only Charles had the balls to wield a single ounce of power, sadly, all he cares about is preserving historic architecture. He couldn't care less about the third worlders shitting on the sidewalks in front of these historic buildings. That is a strong judgment of the UK, but I believe that, I believe that this society is crumbling, and the monarchy doesn't seem to have done anything. If anything, they have helped this process. John Drake says, hateful, if it ever happened to my daughter, they would really know. Okay, I will not read the rest, but I get what you're saying. U.S. consumer prices blow away expectations, rise for 27 straight months. So we're not out of the inflation loop yet. We are still in a rise. The CPI is rising. We saw this tug of war between goods moderating and services remaining strong. This is not a tug of war. They both moved up. Right now, I think the Fed is going to be looking at this with a lot of concern. This is no good news across this report. So basically, if inflation keeps going, the Fed will be harsher and harsher in its rate hikes. They will want to stop the inflation. I think there's a problem where decisions of the Fed will only have impacts on the consumer prices if they extend over many months. I think there's a problem with this whole reactivity of the markets that are, oh my God, the CPI is high, so the Fed will hike. So everyone should just calm down and accept that the theoretical financial decisions of the Fed, they get down to the Walmart close where I go shopping. They take months to get there. Five heart studies allegedly manipulated data saying a blood thinner had healing effects. Federally funded research led by Temple University is under misconduct investigation. Three medical journals recently launched independent investigations of possible data manipulation in heart studies led by Temple University researchers. Reuters has learned, adding new scrutiny to a misconduct inquiry by the university and the U.S. government. The Journal of Molecular and Cellular Cardiology and the Journal of Biological Chemistry are investigating five papers authored by Temple scientists, the journals told Reuters. I'm sure there is so much fraud that we don't detect, because we don't care about fraud in science, honestly. They will have you publish a whole paper. They won't even ask for the data. The data don't need to be deposited publicly. And everyone is in a race to find something. So that's why you end up with a fake positive finding. It's because everyone is under pressure to find something. So reporting a negative result is not encouraged. And, you know, if you discover something in your data, you get this high of a journal. If you discover nothing in your experiment, you won't even get published. So the day science really wants the truth, they will say, we want the results of your experiment. We're going to put it in the exact same journal, whether it's positive or negative. But of course, we're not there, because there's this whole system of you want to publish in the best journal, well, you need the best result. And you have the peer reviewers who are putting a similar pressure in the same direction. They will reject your article, in the top journals because you haven't discovered anything, and then it will bar you for lower journals. So as long as we do this, we will get fraud because every scientist is incentivized at finding something rather than nothing. If we were really about the truth, it would be super easy. We would say, any result of your experiment, we will publish, and you will be treated equally. You will have the equal amount of grant. You will not have any advantage to find something. Go away, says Jeff. You should start a journal that only publishes negative results. And then you have this. They started a journal of negative results. But it doesn't help. It's because the journal of negative results is looking at these. Oh, let's get the most impressive negative results, those that are the most interesting. And it's always this race, and all of it for really crappy science. I mean, nothing that I would have ever done in the university and the peer review system would equate this. This is actually good science. This is good stuff. The revolutionary phenotype, if you haven't bought your copy, get it. That is actual science. They don't know how to incentivize this. They have no idea because you produce a truly innovative theory. It won't get you employment in a university. They will ignore you. I'm not being mentioned in any. People are acting like 2018 wasn't the year of the discovery of the theory of phenotypic revolutions. So see the system that de-incentivizes actual discovery and incentivizes fraud. That's our system. Diamond Eyes sends a super chat. Thank you so much. I love being incentivized by super chat. See, I feel that my life has been so much straighter. I don't have to race to find something, to discover some specific technical thing in my field of expertise. I'm incentivized by super chat, so all I have to do is be truthful and interesting. Diamond Eyes sends $5. He says, what is your opinion on the French Revolution and Napoleon's contributions? Was Napoleon's dream of a connected Europe, aside from England, with a free flow of labor and commerce similar to what Richard desires? Oh boy, I've been asked these questions back in the days. And then I did a show with a guest on Napoleon. I mean, I forget his nickname. Antaios came to talk about this. To be honest, I don't have much knowledge and much interest in Napoleon. From my understanding, he was a commander that took power during a revolution conflict, and that then turned his newly obtained power into an expansionist, imperialist conquest of stuff around France. That's all I know. Now, his dreams of a connected Europe, I don't know about it. What you described, though, sounds like the European Union. And I think that Richard Spencer is very much in admiration in front of any structures of power. He really likes structures of power. I'm exactly the opposite. I hate structures of power because I know that this is exactly where the devil shows. This is exactly where you lose control. So I guess that yes, it would probably be in line with Richard's view of the world more than mine. Go away, says so much straighter. Have you got something to admit about your past, JF? No, I mean I don't lie and I never lied, but I felt the pressure in academia to produce something, and I knew that this pressure was unhealthy. Now, much of the times I would find myself actually too honest in academia, and for example, I would say, all right, I'm running an experiment with monkeys. I've been working for it on two for 2 years. I cannot record 1,000 neurons in 2 years. I can only do 100. And so I would try to publish at 100, and then the peer reviewers would come back and say, 100? Everyone publishes only when they have 1,000 neurons. And I was like, they're probably lying. Like, I can bullshit you that I had 1,000 neurons, but 1,000 neurons is a long thing. It would take me about 20 years to do it. So no, it's not that I lied or that I have something to admit, but I saw just how much this system was pushing you toward lying. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to make up neurons. I was able in many years to gather these 100 neurons. I'm going to try publishing with these 100 neurons. And of course, it would come back to me and they would say, no, you need 1,000 neurons. I was like, I know exactly what the people who tell you they have 1,000 neurons, I know what they do. They put their electrode in, then they make a biased estimator of neuron finding, and where I would see one neuron, they will say, I see 10. And they will say, okay, I'm recording 10 neurons right now. And I would be like, well, you're recording one neuron, maybe. And they'd be like, here, I'm going to select these spikes as being neuron number one, these spikes as being neuron number two. So basically, people multiply their data to make it inflate. But we are in an inflationary system in science, such that an honest scientist actually has difficulty making it. It makes me think of the cycling industry, where if you don't take drugs, you're not going to be in the top 10. The key is to get just the right amount of drugs that they cannot detect, but that still enhance your performance. DOJ issues more than 30 subpoenas to Trump associates. So I had covered this story from the reports of Steve Bannon, but it seems now confirmed by Fox News, according to a source, that this would be true. I was actually wondering to what extent that was true, because it only came from the words of Steve Bannon, but now Fox News is covering it. So it seems that there's a big crackdown on the entourage of Trump. John Drake says, the fact that so many experiments can be reproduced tell us scientists lie, and lie often. Oh yeah, and even the reproducibility crisis, as they called it, I mean, everything is poorly made in the system. The reproducibility crisis comes from the fact that we had small psychology experiments running on 16 people, and it's like they report this big result, and it's like, okay, you've done this on 16 super selected people. On top of it, there's the fact that the data itself may be just changed, manually changed by the scientist. We don't have a system that is truly blind and truly looking for the truth. A system that is truly looking for the truth would hire the scientist and say, we're paying you to find the truth. We're not going to reward you more if you find that truth or this truth. We're just going to, you're going to become a big scientist even if you discover nothing. Now, that system is very far from the one we have. Kamala Harris' stepdaughter, Ella Imhoff, bears her breast on New York Fashion Week. The breasts have been pixelated. So this is Kamala Harris' stepdaughter. How exactly does this work? Kamala Harris has a boyfriend. Is her boyfriend as a daughter? Her daughter is breast naked in New York. I mean, this is not even beautiful. Is this what top modeling is now? Because let me tell you, you just drive anywhere in America right now, in a place where there are farmers, you go into a random church, you'll find a beautiful young woman that's more beautiful than this. And this is what top modeling looks like. This is the top of the beauty scale. I don't believe you. Look at the tattoos. Look at the hips. And the way she's dressed, it's not even appealing. Just, you just go to a church, Christian church, just random white woman, picked at random. She's more beautiful than this. How does that happen? It's like the you have the top of society, which should be top modeling, that should be top beauty. But our society has inverted the scales, and now we have ugly at the top and beauty at the bottom. I don't get it. Watch live, whistleblower tells lawmakers Twitter had 10 years of overdue critical issues. Of course, it's the gang rape of Twitter continues alongside Elon Musk, and we now have a whistleblower, of course, continuing on. We had already reviewed a re whistleblower, but this is the same, actually. Peter Mudge Zatko, who's just now speaking in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I have to admit, although I've been critical of him because he annoys me in terms of how he's always looking for legislation of the internet, but he's right about Twitter. Twitter security is ridiculous. And we've seen it when there was a leak, when they Raised Fist says, from the man who gave Gabby Petito a 10 out of 10, Gabby Petito was 10 out of 10. I will not let you soil Gabby Petito. She was a 10 out of 10. I refuse to hear anything else. This is fundamental. It is axiomatic. Gabby Petito was a 10 out of 10. I don't want to hear anything else. Dead Star says, absolutely a 10. Thank you, Dead Star. See, this guy knows. The other guy, Raised Fist, knows nothing. Nothing. Twitter security is ridiculous. We've seen it from the leak that has happened. At some point, there was someone who was successful at social engineering. Basically, they convinced on Discord an employee of Twitter of giving them access to his code. And we saw the interface. Holy shit. It's like, yes, it's 10 years behind. It is an interface that I would expect on a very old website where basically an employee of Twitter has all controls. Like delete tweet, modify tweet. They could do fraud, basically. And that's what happened in that social engineering success. The guy was able to modify the tweets of, well, to tweet in the name of big people and then to promote a cryptocurrency address for donation that were basically fraudulently obtained. Seeing the interface of Twitter in that hack has revealed that Twitter is absolutely behind on security. Just the options that they offer to their low-level employees is are ridiculously unsafe. In no place that I've ever seen in the modern internet have employees been given so much database access that they don't need. Go Away sends a super chat. He says, Raising Arizona is one of my favorite films due to its sincere pro-natalist message. I cry every time. Have you seen it? If not, you should, and you should do a review. Raising Arizona, 1987. Oh boy. It's one of these stupid father movie, like, oh, I'm an idiot, but I'm a father. When a childless couple of an ex-con and an ex-cop decide to help themselves to one of another family's quintuplets, their lives becomes more complicated than to one of another family's quintuplets. With Nicolas Cage. Are you trolling me? Go away. I'm not going to watch this. This is not a pro-family message. This is a cockery case of Nicolas Cage who takes the babies from another genetic family. You are here promoting cuckoldry. Go away. And I suspect that you are trolling me. Good job for using $5 to attempt to troll me. But unless you have something in your defense to say, I will assume that this is not true. Because how could it be a pro-family message if Nicolas Cage ends up taking the baby from another man and another woman? Go away says the ending redeems it. That's exactly what a troll would tell me to force me to watch the whole thing. I might watch it at 15x. Go away. I might watch it at 15x. Happening, says JF, did you watch Dawson versus Dyer? If so, what did you think? I didn't watch it. I might never watch it because Jay Dyer has only one trick. It is, you said this and therefore you think this. And you say to him, no. And then he's like, no, you have to think this because it's an obligation of this and that. No. And that's it. That's what Jay Dyer does. It is not a conversation that interests me very much. To me, one of the rules of debate is the positions are stated by the person speaking. If I could enter a debate and say, you believe this, without even having like the politeness of saying, oh, since you've said this, would you tell me, do you believe this? Like, that's okay. It's okay to get the opponent to reveal his hidden preferences. There are sometimes hidden preferences hiding behind statements, but not always. And Jay Dyer assumes that there are always. And that's a problem. And for that reason, I'm not super interested at anything that involves Jay Dyer. Court rules Christian Adoption Agency can refuse to place children with same-sex couples. Well, that is a great victory. A Christian Adoption Agency in New York recently won a lawsuit after a federal judge ruled the state could not require the organization to violate its religious beliefs by placing children with same-sex or unmarried couple. There is so much persecution of organizations of all kind, whether it's the domain of reproductive health or abortion or homosexual services or adoption services. And it's always the leftist saying, oh, well, we won't give you money if you don't do this and that. Well, this agency has argued that they had a Christian belief that a couple is formed by a man and a woman. And so thanks to this, they will be able to select couple on that basis. It is a religious right, basically, that they have. I'm thankful for this. Because then we can start building an alternative society and not be constantly compelled by the government to act against our beliefs. Go away sends $15. He says, here's $15 to watch it at normal speed. I'm not trolling. Okay. You with $15, you've earned some of my time. I'm bookmarking Raising Arizona, but holy shit, is that not appealing? I want people to realize just the crap that people are paying me to watch. Thankfully, I'm being paid because look at this. Would you watch this for $15? I wouldn't. I mean, I will. I will have to. But I wish I wouldn't. Like, this looks like crap. This looks like pre-crap crap, like proto-crap. It looks like crap that hasn't been crapped yet. Nicolas fucking Cage in a 7.3 IMDb score. Ah, you have to give it. 7.3 is good. But what kind of dummies are creating these scars? Who the fuck knows? This looks like a bad movie. A bad fucking movie. And I have this, and then I have Westworld. 4 seasons of unwatched Westworld, from which I feel like a virgin, getting ready to be inseminated by Westworld with its double layer meta world with robots, AIs, and sentient stuff. This is not comparable. I would watch Westworld 10,000 times before I want to watch this. Go away, you are the ultimate troll, because isn't this the ultimate trolling when you cannot tell if the person it's like, how do I tell that at $5 he was trolling, but at $15, no, he's not trolling. Like, even if he was to send $1,000, that might just be a rich troll. Ah, go away. You are this man at the intersection between passing the Turing test of trolling or not passing it. This is a full-blown political purge. Tucker Carlson obtains DOJ subpoenas targeting Trump allies. So again, the same thing that was covered by Fox News, the people being oppressed around the President Trump, Steve Bannon, that kind of gang is totally being targeted right now for probably related to January 6th, which is why the little joke by, I forgot his name because I blacklisted him. The leader of the Proud Boys, the creator of the Proud Boys, Gavin McInnes. This is why the little joke by Gavin McInnes was very bad. It came at a bad time because there is actual oppression and targeting of Trump entourage and right-wing people. Scientists from Harvard and Johns Hopkins found the COVID-19 vaccines 98 times worse than the virus. That's Steve Kirch coverage of the study I was talking about earlier. 98 times worse, I don't know. Because you would have to you cannot really weigh it. How much is an hospitalization by COVID worth in terms of troubles with the vaccine, because trouble with the vaccine could be little things, could be big things. So 98 times, I think it's a misrepresentation. But the study definitely makes a case that the vaccine is worse for the young population. How have I not noticed this before? Wow, someone found that the NPC character is actually it's very much like the PBS logo. Holy shit. I hadn't noticed this. Is it the NPC character that was inspired by the PBS logo? Or is the PBS logo pre-programming? Because that's what they want you to think. They tell you in advance so your brain prepares for the truth. FDA refuses to provide key COVID-19 vaccine safety analysis. Unbelievable. U.S. drug regulators are refusing to provide key analysis of a COVID-19 vaccine safety database, claiming that the factual findings cannot be separated by internal discussions protected by law. So they're saying our discussions are internal, so we can't reveal them to you. And then our analysis contains so much of that discussion that we can't reveal to you. But you should have at least the raw numbers. The raw numbers are not a matter of internal discussion. They are data. They should be able to release this, but they refuse. So we end up having a totally non-transparent process that has led to the decisions that were taken. But how do we hold these people accountable if it's all done in secrecy? We still don't know the extent of the data that they had, whether they, you know, we would like to look at this data and say, oh, well, you guys took a bad decision. But we can't. It's all being kept secret. Hopefully, at some point, some judge just forces the release. And this should all be transparent and all public. After all, we are talking about products on which people have to make decisions. They should be informed about it. Is that not the definition of informed consent? American Express, MasterCard, and Visa are starting to categorize sales from gun shops. I've not talked about this, but it's been in the news cycle for a couple of days. I don't have much to say about it, but it's the credit system inventing a new category, which is gun shops. And I guess that it will be one more way that private corporations can track you and assess and kind of accumulate information on you and perhaps even violate your Second Amendment rights, because at some point they're going to use this info, I guess, to deny the purchase of someone and perhaps remove financial services from them because he's been buying too much at gun shops. So it's not good news. It's definitely not good news. And these decisions that she was saying, some bitch I know was saying, it's taken in Geneva by a non-governmental organization. So basically it's interests that are totally foreign to America and the Second Amendment, right? They're making these credit decisions. But just this categorization will allow some information to be gathered by private corporations and potentially accessible by the government on who buys guns where. Happening, says Jeff, why is random not truly random? In the most fundamental or inescapable systems, do you as an atheist believe that matter is chaos, random, or based on chance? Well, there's lots of questions in there. Why is random not truly random? Because, and let's forget about visions of the universe that would be indeterminate. We can address this later, but let's consider, for example, something that everyone considers random, which is the VIP roulette. So the little ball turns around the circle, falls on a given number, and this determines who wins on the table based on whether they bet on red, black, or a given number, or pairs, or odds, or whatever. So why is random not random here? Because ultimately, if you had a physical model of the little ball, of the croupier who is throwing it, of the total force of friction of the circle and all aspects of the physical world in that roulette and the speed at which the roulette is spinning at the beginning, you could exactly know where the ball is headed. So that's the sense in which random is not random. It's that random here doesn't mean truly at the fundamental level random. It means unobtainable enough for all observers involved. So basically, people are satisfied that the roulette VIP is a random game to the extent that the people sitting at the table do not have enough accuracy visually to make the physical model that would allow predicting where the ball will fall. And to that extent, it's random enough. And that's what I say in my book. Random enough is the criteria that I use for chapter 9. So you say then, in the most fundamental or inescapable system. Well, the roulette VIP is not a quantum system, and as such, it is deterministic. Now, then you can have some discussions in philosophy of science around quantum systems and whether the probabilistic representation of a superposition of state is true random, or if it's just more like random because the observer won't ever get to know it. And I think that most physicists, the way they approach this, talking to physicists, most physicists don't believe that the universe is fundamentally probabilistic. They believe that the world is in one way, but that the observers sometimes have difficulty knowing every possible way in which the world is. So the world is unknowable in full, but not random fundamentally. Now, your other question is, do you as an atheist believe that matter is chaos, random, or based on chance? Well, it's mostly a straw man that is made of atheists even thinking that. I've never heard an atheist say that everything is random. That would seem very contrary to science. The minute you say, I believe that science can know something about the world, you are admitting that the world is structured in some way that is not random. And in fact, the subject of science is everything that we can know about the world, and therefore everything that is not random. And there is then even a science of randomness, it is statistics. But that's, yeah, so there is statistics to bridge the gap between the science of the known physical laws and then the science of what we know we don't know, but we can know some things about the statistics of it. Do I, as an atheist, believe that the world is chaos, random? This is so unspecified because it's not so much as an atheist. As a scientist, I admit that there are some things in the universe that are random to certain observers. The roulette VIP is a case. The particular superposition state of a given particle is another case. They are random to an observer because the observer cannot possibly recover in his situation all information that he would need for the thing to be perfectly predictable. On the other hand, as a scientist, I also recognize that there are lots of non-random things in the world, and in fact, most things in the world are non-random. The entirety of evolution is not random. It is based on environmental response and adaptation. There is a part of randomness, which is the mutations, but very quickly, they get involved in a non-random process that is natural selection. And then, as far as mechanics goes, most things are not random. It's not random whether a bridge is built to last or not to last, and to resist to certain forces and not resist to other forces. Most of the things are not random. Then the word chaos you use. Do I believe that the world is chaos? Chaos is a very complex term, and it's mostly undefined, I would say, in your case. Chaos is simply a term that we apply to systems that we consider to be so nonlinear and so dynamic that we might as well say we just don't master them quite very much. And they are such that little causes would have massive effects that are, from our perspective, not yet understandable or not readily predictable. So is the world chaotic? Well, there's a lot of things that you can call chaotic in the world. Like, if you were here 4 billion years ago and you looked at the planet, could you have known that there would eventually be four-legged animals on it? Could you have known that there would be civilizations for which Sunday is different than Monday? Could you have known that there would be a very good TV show called Westworld that would be produced in 2016? that is what would be chaotic, in that no one with even the best insight on physics could have told these things from 4 billion years ago. Now, if you were 7 years ago, maybe you could have guessed that there would be something like a TV series. Maybe you could have guessed that Jonathan Nolan was likely to produce something about embedded systems and that involves some sort of AI, maybe some virtual world. So the world looks less chaotic as you zoom in into your degree of understanding of the set of causes. So as you get closer to the event, it looks less and less chaotic. And then you can, in fact, when you look back, you can say, oh, well, it makes total sense that something like Westworld would be produced. Jonathan Nolan had previous successes. He's been rewarded economically for these successes. All of his successes involved movies about embedded systems and AI or alternate worlds, and so he's done it again. So it makes total sense. But it depends from where you look and what you know. Chaos, I think, is not a fundamental thing. It's more about our perception. And the world is very complex, therefore, lots of places where you can see chaos, but that will be in the eye of the beholder. DK Shadow says, I lost interest in Westworld in the middle of season 2. Casper Cast says, Westworld is going to get really woke and bad. The first season was great, but most of the rest is going to be a major disappointment. The Critical Drinker did some videos about the later seasons, which could spare you the pain. I'm totally into Westworld. I will go through the seasons and suffer through them if I must. But should we be surprised that Westworld has been headed toward crap? Because it is produced by J.J. Abrams. And what is the signature move of J.J. Abrams? To make excellent beginning seasons and to eventually ruin them with the worst episode ever. And that was for Lost, he did it, and perhaps he's done it with Westworld. But J.J. Abrams must be avoided. He is a dangerous man. He takes great ideas, produces them with super quality, and then I don't know what the fuck he does. He reduces the quality up to a point where it's unsustainable. Is it concerns about money? I don't know. But this guy has never been able to finish something correctly. So fuck J.J. Abrams. That's it for tonight. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.